From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Is the Democratic Party lost? 4 months into the Trump administration, what are the biggest challenges party leaders face, both from Republicans and among voters? And how should the party approach future elections? Like so many politicians these days, Stacey Abrams has turned to my field of work to address some of these questions. Since last summer, she's hosted a podcast called Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams. It's part of the Crooked Media Empire, which also includes Pod Save America. Abrams was minority leader of the Georgia House of Representatives for 6 years. She founded the group Fair Fight Action to address voter suppression. And she was the Democratic nominee for governor of Georgia in 2018 and 2022, the first black woman to be a major party gubernatorial nominee. Although she lost both of those elections, she has been credited with energizing Democrats and increasing voter turnout in Georgia, paving the way for Joe Biden to win the state in 2020 and two Democrats to be elected to the Senate the next year. Of course, Trump won Georgia back last year, so this is a story that is still being written. And because of that, I'm glad to be able to talk about it with Stacey Abrams herself. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And our phones are open during the first half of the program today. If you want to join us, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right. It's been 4 months and 2 days since President Trump was inaugurated. Would you say things have gone worse or better or about as you would have expected?
I think that we have faced an unprecedented rise in the threat of tyranny toppling democracy in America. This has happened before, but never so explicitly from the White House and never with such complicity from Congress. We are watching the gutting of American norms, but we're also watching the blithe rejection of the Constitution as a protection. And so I would say that we are in a posture that while we have seen previews of it before, we have never seen the country in such peril of losing its way as we do today.
Where are you on the scale of, you know, I talk to people on the left side of the political spectrum who say, yeah, I think we can get things back if only the 2026 elections go Democrats' way, to I don't even think there are going to be elections in the future. Where would you put yourself on that scale?
I would say that we face the very real risk, if we do not take action now, of not being able to stop the stride towards tyranny. But I refuse to give up on the possibility of Americans reclaiming our democracy and our ability to say that we refuse to go along with autocracy. The issue, though, isn't whether we win an election. And I do think those elections are important. But between now and 2026 is a very, very long road. And our responsibility is to recognize that every single one of us has a role to play, that the defeat of tyranny doesn't happen simply at the voting booth. It happens every day when we reclaim democracy and when we say that democracy must deliver. And in fact, the whole point of Assembly Required, and I appreciate you talking about the podcast, is to give us the tools and the information, but also to give us action items, because I refuse to hope that we get there by November of 2026. I intend to see that by 2026, we have done the work necessary to not just restore our faith in this country, but to actually be ready to build better what we need to have going forward.
I want to share a couple of text messages we got from listeners when we mentioned to our group that you were coming on the show today. Terry in Batavia said, Dems in the House and Senate need to get louder and work on getting moderate, she put quotation marks around moderate Republicans to speak out and break ranks. Those Dems need to be on the front lines exposing the corruption, lies, and speaking truth to power. Ocasio-Cortez and Sanders are leading the way. And on that note, we also heard from Heather in DeKalb, Illinois. Follow Bernie's lead. Denounce genocide. Have a platform based in real pathways to change rather than a platform based on not Trump. So, Stacey Abrams, with that in mind, how well do you think elected Democrats have done in responding to the Trump administration so far?
Well, I've been privileged to have Senator Booker on the show, to have Representative Jayapal join us. I think that they are speaking. I think part of the challenge is what they can say when they aren't in power. And so I want to give credit to all of those, to Leader Jeffries, who yesterday did, I think, an admirable job of laying out what's happening. But we also have to recognize that this isn't simply about what elected officials can do. And I don't want to, I'm not disclaiming their obligation at all. I am saying that they have to get louder, that there have been some missteps that were unnecessary. But I also want us to recognize that this is not a congressional issue alone. Congress is a part of the challenge. The complicity of the Republican Party in total to join the Project 2025 intention of turning America into a Christian nationalist nation. And this isn't hyperbole. This is what they said. This is what they've written down. And if you look at what they are doing day by day, it's true. The role that our congressional leaders have is absolutely vital. Jasmine Crockett is out there saying things. Ro Khanna is doing what he can. We've got really smart people. You've got Representative McIver, who was indicted for simply showing up and doing her job of oversight in Illinois, saying that, I mean, sorry, in New Jersey, saying that the incarceration, the kidnapping and incarceration of people in this country without due process is wrong. So we see people saying it. Part of the challenge we have, though, is volume. And volume does not simply come from those who are elected. It comes from the people who elected them. For me, the reclaiming of democracy begins with us realizing we've loaned them power. We loan elected leaders power. And we have to then show up to amplify that power. And I think that's the place where we have the right and the necessity to demand more from those who are elected, but we also have the opportunity and obligation to do more on our side.
Yeah, there was a book that came out a few years ago, Politics is for Power. And I may be getting some of the details wrong. It's been a while. But the broad critique was like, politics is not about, showing up every 2 or 4 years or what you post on social media. Do you have a, I mean, you are somebody who has done the work of trying to organize people. Do you get, is are there frustrations? Do you get the sense that people have sort of lost the idea of democracy being rooted in the demos, in the people, to sound highfalutin about it?
Well, I think part of the problem is democracy has failed to deliver for too many people. And that's one of the challenges. The reason we saw 77 million people vote for Republicans, 75 million people vote for Democrats, but 90 million Americans chose not to engage is because they did not believe that democracy would deliver for them. It has become this abstraction. The notion of power is an abstraction. And my party in particular, Democrats need to reclaim and define democracy not as this abstract concept that we celebrate every couple of years with an election, but it has to be a tool that delivers for people. It's not just something to defend. Democracy must deliver. And you deliver by leading with your shared values. And so I think that part of the necessity of Demos is that the people have to remind their leaders what the values are and that they demand to see those values lived out in the programs that are funded or not funded. Fairness, dignity, freedom, community, these are values that we hold. And right now we're in a perfect moment for the people to demand the power that be, the powers that be, to demand that they do something. I mean, we just watched the House pass a bill that will strip children over the age of 7 of access to the social safety net if both of their parents don't have the right paperwork. We are risking children's lives. We are about to see a $500 billion cut to Medicare, which services elderly people at their most desperate moment, all in order and in service of giving billionaires permanent tax cuts. This is a moment where Demos matters because the people have to show those moderate Republicans that they do see them and they will remember. But we've got to go beyond what's in Congress. We've got to talk to our state legislators. These are people who have power too. We've got to talk to school board members and city council members. Any person who has been elected is responsible for proving that democracy can deliver and that it must deliver. And I want us to get back to the place where we own that power and we use that power. And when we leverage that power, it does work.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Stacey Abrams, who is the host now of the podcast Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams. She was a former elected official in Georgia and candidate there and an organizer. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. I do think there's still value in trying to understand why last year's elections turned out the way they did. So I thought maybe we could just do a lightning round of some of the punditry that we've heard since then. And you can just say, you know, agree, disagree, and why. Number one, Democrats' top concern should be winning back white working class voters. What do you think?
Democrats' top concern should be passing policies that attract the broadest coalition of voters. And that includes white working class, but it can never be to the exclusion of other communities of interest and other community needs. Democrats are at their strongest when we deliver for the broadest population of Americans.
Number two, Democrats are taking Black voters for granted.
Democrats are responsible for leading with values, but also delivering outcomes. And anytime we start to shirk that responsibility, or when people can't feel that those values are translating into to opportunities, then they are absolutely legitimate in their critiques. I don't think they are that we take Black voters for granted, but I think it is critical and incumbent upon us that we not rest on the last thing we did. We've got an obligation every single election to show how we are going to lead with our values and deliver outcomes. And that means policies that speak explicitly to the needs of communities, including the Black community.
Vice President Kamala Harris lost mainly because of her gender and or ethnic identity.
Race and gender matter, but that is not singularly responsible. Again, I go to a larger conversation that we need to have. This is a matter of 2 million people. If you look at the 77 million that Trump got and the 75 million that Harris got, I'm concerned with how do we gather that delta through the 90 million people who did not believe that either party showed up for them, that either party reflects them, or that this nation believes in delivering the services and the supports that they need. That's the population we should be myopically focused on.
I'm going to break format of the lightning round here. Let me ask you about that, because this idea of, you know, what political experts sometimes call low information voters, or, you know, they're just the completely detached. And we know that, you know, a lot of people just aren't getting news these days. The collapse of local media has hastened that prospect. What do you make, though, of the fact that a lot of people now might see all the sort of what people who are, you know, on the Democratic side see as chaos in Washington, as destruction, as action, and code that as like something positive, right? Well, at least he's doing something. He's getting something done. I'm sure you've heard that. How do you respond to that?
I respond by saying that our job as Democrats is to then do the translation, because I don't think that people are detached. I think they're despaired. We live in a time of extraordinary inequality, and where we are having conversations that don't translate into change for people. So yes, there are those who champion and celebrate the chaos as some proof of action, but we have to understand the desperation that undergirds the notion that doing anything means you're doing something. What that means then is that Democratic operatives, that politicians, but also that people who share our values have to use this as a tool to deliver. When you hear about tax on Medicaid and Social Security and ripping food off of the table of vulnerable kids so they can pay for tax cuts for billionaires, we've got to be the ones not just explaining what that means, but we've got to show up in community and help mollify and mitigate the harm. People trust you when they see that you are working for them. And the work that I've done organizing has always been about not just saying, oh, look, here's whose fault it is, but let's talk about what we do to solve the problem. And I want everyone to remember that before we had power, we had each other. And part of our job in this terrible moment is to remember that we can't wait for politicians to save us. We do need the superstructure of government. We absolutely need politics and politicians and policy to work. But our opportunity in this moment is to show up anyway and to do what we can anyway so that we can connect the dots better. Because it's not about being low information. It's about being low faith.
Low faith, not low information. Interesting. Let me share another text message, and I should say we need to take a break in about a minute here. But
Sorry.
This is from Randy in rural Peoria County, who says, "Show up. This is what they are not doing here in farmland in Illinois. I invite her and other Dems to come and visit me and my 73-year-old wife who still farm." Just about, I don't know, 45 seconds before we take a break. You know, talk about rural voters. What can Democrats be doing to reach rural voters?
We need to spend a lot of time there. I did that in Georgia. I continue to spend time in rural communities because we've got to understand that this is about everyone, and we cannot cherry pick who we serve. If we lead with our values, we will serve the most people. So let's make sure we're serving the needs by understanding those needs. And that means going everywhere and talking to everyone. I think that was in under 45 seconds.
That was great. Great timing. It's good to talk to another podcast host. All right. We are going to continue with Stacey Abrams. The show is Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams. I got to work on that, getting my name in the title of a show. I don't know. That's a lot of pressure. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. More to come here on the 21st show. Then later in the hour, we will meet Susanna Scaroni, a wheelchair athlete based in Illinois who recently won her second Boston Marathon. That's coming up after a break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking with Stacey Abrams, former minority leader in Georgia House of Representatives, was nominee for governor there a couple of times, and was a political organizer, is a political organizer there. Now she's hosting the podcast Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams. If you want to join us today, just only about 6 minutes left in our time together, 800-222-9455 is the number. I want to ask you about gerrymandering, because we hear from obviously, gerrymandering, I think nationally people think of that primarily as something Republicans do to weaken Democrats. But here in Illinois, Democrats have turned that around. Do you see gerrymandering as a fair game thing or something that needs to be approached systematically? Where are you on that issue?
I very firmly believe that people should pick their politicians. Politicians do not have the right to pick their voters. And so I believe very strongly in independent commissions that use the best data possible to determine the allocation of voting lines. Because this isn't just about who goes to Congress. It's who's in charge of your child's education, who decides if you get the services you need at the local level. And gerrymandering is an insult to the very fundamental nature of democracy.
And so when a state like Illinois does it, right, and people, I mean, is that a problem for you? Do you think Illinois should sort of, as the Democrats here would say, unilaterally disarm and go to a commission style when it does allow for some advantage in the House of Representatives as well as in the state General Assembly here?
I think the challenge is that we need to have uniformity in how decisions are made. Unilateral disarmament is problematic if what you're doing is trying to preserve the overarching needs of a nation. But no one state should have that obligation, which is why I very strongly supported legislation that would require nationally that we have uniform standards. The gutting of the Voting Rights Act meant that gerrymandering became a tool not simply for Republicans to exact their revenge and to push their policies, but it created an arms race of who can get their politicians in place. People should get to pick their leaders, and that means we should have lines that are drawn at the local, state, and federal level that all follow a similar set of standards. But it is difficult to say that one party and one community has to do it and no one else does.
Let's go to the phones. Kathy is calling from Jacksonville on line one. Kathy, thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much. I strongly agree with what Stacey Abrams has had to say this morning. I grew up a Republican. I've become a Democrat. I voted for Kamala Harris and very proud to have done that. Very upset that we could have won that vote if other people had voted likewise. I think that President Trump has done a huge disservice to the country. I think the Democrats have got to take the country back. I strongly agree with this. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for the call, Kathy. I don't know if you want to respond to that, Stacey Abrams.
I said thank you, and I appreciate your understanding of where we are, but I even more want us to recognize that we are all in this. This isn't just about those who are elected. I haven't held elective office since 2017, but I refuse to go away because this is my country. These are my people, and my responsibility is not harnessed to whether or not I have a title. The title I have is citizen, and I want all of us to understand that we have so much more power than we realize. And we can help find power for those who supposedly have it by showing up and showing everyone that we will not let our nation be taken from us one, executive order at a time.
You said you're not going away. I think there are people who do want you to go away, and I do want to give you the opportunity to share your perspective on, the investigation in Georgia into the New Georgia Project's coordination with your 2018 campaign for governor. I mean, there was a, it seems like there's maybe two tracks here, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. One that's sort of like campaign disclosure violations, and I know there's different leadership of that group now, but there's also this legislative investigation, and Fani Willis has also been targeted by one of those. Talk about what your perspective is on what's going on there.
So, to be factually correct, there was no coordination. In fact, they spent 6 years trying to prove coordination and could not. What they fined the New Georgia Project for was failure to disclose contributions made. There was, and that New Georgia Project admitted they paid their fine. I have not been involved in a meaningful way in the New Georgia Project since I announced my run for governor in 2017. So that was not about me.
Yeah,
On
it's all
top of
after your
that,
time, to be clear.
it was after my time. On top of that, the other accusation is that I used the responsibility that I believe we have to clean the environment and to take care of our people. I was part of a program that helped lower bills for rural Georgians who needed to get relief using the Inflation Reduction Act's larger metric, although this was all private money. So what I'm being investigated for is believing that voting rights matter and that clean air and clean water and clean energy are important for America. Republicans are mad at me because despite not being in office, I continue to deliver for Georgians and to deliver for America. And the fact that they believe that the response is not to mimic what we do, but to investigate me for doing good for others is deeply problematic, mildly confusing. But ultimately, from Donald Trump to Elon Musk to the state of Georgia Senate members who decided to push this legislation, they're angry because I am living my belief system, which is that democracy must deliver. And that means fairness, dignity, freedom, but most importantly, serving community. And I will continue to serve community because that's what I was raised to do.
We are going to have to leave it there, I'm sorry to say, but I hope we can talk again. Stacey Abrams, the show is Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.